Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
Welcome. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Jerusalem. So glad you could make it. Amazing. Amazing to see so many of you here. You know, in all my years as a Jewish leader here in Jerusalem, I've never seen anything like it, and it's a wonderful time for you to come. I'm so glad you could make it. Excuse me for not introducing myself. Nicodemus. Not Nick. Nicodemus, thank you very much. I live here in Jerusalem. I'm one of the 70 leaders who guide the destiny of our great Jewish nation, and, well, at least we guide it as much as the Romans will allow us to. It's not an easy time for our nation. Years of occupation and interference, and how we long for the fulfillment of God's promises for our nation. How we long for the Messiah to come and lead us to the freedom that God has promised to us here in Israel. You know, some of my people have no faith at all in the promises of God. They think that we're a nation just like every other nation. All they can think about is politics and power games. Yeah, they think the temple, ladies and gentlemen, they think the temple is just for symbolic rituals. They think that God's dead. But not me. Mm-mm. No, no. See, I know we are the people of God. How do I know that? Well, God chose Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Jacob, and then 400 years in Egypt. And then he sent Moses and delivered us out of the hands of the Egyptians, and he led us by a mighty hand to this land. He established us. He lifted us up, made us great under King David, and even more under King Solomon. I believe in the destiny of Israel. The destiny of Israel to bring forth the Messiah. The Messiah of God, the deliverer. Yeah. One who'll rule. Oh, yes, he'll rule not only in Israel, but he'll bring peace to the whole earth through us. Yeah. Through us, the Jewish people. See, I'm a Pharisee. You know, I truly believe in our call to be God's people in the earth. It's a responsibility. And I believe in the power of God. I believe in miracles. I believe we're the chosen people. But I got to be honest, it's a long time since we actually saw a miracle. And I read about so many. But I'd never actually seen one. And that's why it's a great time for you to be here. I'm amazed. You know, it's not just one miracle. It's a whole stream of miracles. You know, as a Pharisee, I know the law for the cleansing of lepers. You know, I know it. Now, I've never seen it work, but I know it. And it's been the talk of the Sanhedrin. A stream of people making their way down here from Galilee to Jerusalem, asking for the cleansing ceremony. This is the kind of thing I'm talking about.
With a growing number of disciples, Jesus moves from town to town, teaching about God's kingdom and working miracles.
Please.
Thank you.
I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm clean.
Jesus is a savior to some.
Look, look what he's done. Look what Jesus has done.
But a potential threat to Rome.
See? I mean, marvelous. Everybody's talking about it. I mean, nothing for a lifetime and then suddenly this. You know, Moshi down at the temple, he says he had to do like 10 in one day. 10 lepers in one day. You know, Moshi says it reminds him of the prophet Elijah. Moshi says a great prophet has arisen in our land. Yeah. Now, not everybody thinks like that, of course. A prophet in our lifetime, if all I can say is hallelujah. Yeah, but Jaime, yeah. Jaime says it's mass hysteria. Yeah. Jaime's a Sadducee, you know. He doesn't believe in miracles. Not now, not ever. Jaime's a wet blanket. They're a miserable bunch, I can tell you that right now. Now, Caiaphas, he's the high priest, chairman of the board, you know. Now, he's angry that there's someone out there doing religious ceremonies without our permission. You know, he says we're the ones that who have the authority to say what goes on around here in Israel, that we should have been approached for permission. Truth is, everybody's got questions. Me too. But you know what I think? I think something wonderful. Well, I think it's wonderful. Yeah. Yeah, you know what I think? I think something wonderful is happening. Just wish I knew for sure what it was.
Yeah.
Ah, goodness me. Come make you angry. Disappointed. Mighty God, give this humble servant the faith to believe and the courage to be true in this troubled time. What kind of people are we? Call ourselves the people of God? You know, I'm angry. You know why? Huh? You know why? I'll tell you why. The stories. El Shaddai. The stories. I told you something wonderful was happening. My own aunt, like she was in a funeral procession the other day on the way to the cemetery, burying a young man whose mum was a widow. Well, Jesus of Nazareth and his disciples were coming into the city as they were going out to bury the kid. Well, he stopped them, made them put the coffin down, opened the lid and told the boy to get out. And mighty God, he raised the boy from the dead and gave him back to his mother. What does it take to convince some people? I mean, the stories abound. I mean, if you were to try to record them all, the world couldn't contain the books you'd have to write. I mean, he heals everywhere he goes. The sick, the blind, the deaf, the insane, the demon-possessed. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Now, Jaime still says it's mass hysteria. Well, Jaime, I said the only one who's hysterical around here is you, mate. So I went to see him myself. I went to look him in the face as a leader of my nation and ask him who he thinks he is. Well, I went at night, you know, just being cautious. Rabbi, I said, I acknowledge you to be a man of God. I mean, no one could do the things you're doing if God wasn't with him. Oh, you must be a faithful son of Abraham. You couldn't do the things that you're doing here. This couldn't be done. Well, you know what he said to me? He said to me, unless I'm born again, I won't even get to see the kingdom of heaven. I mean, I thought, at first I was kind of puzzled. I thought, well, you can't be born twice. I mean, it's ridiculous. But then he explained. He said, no, not at all. You see, this world is real, but you couldn't see it, you couldn't touch it, and you couldn't experience it until you'd been born here. Said, well, heaven's just as real, more so. But you know what? You'll never get to see it or experience it unless you're born there too. He said, it's a new birth, you know? It's a birth that only God's Spirit can perform. Don't be surprised. He said, it's quite obvious if you think about it. And blow me down, it is too, you know? I didn't understand everything he said. But I've got to tell you, this I did understand. God has come to visit with us. I mean, it's like the Bible said, Emmanuel, God with us, just like the prophet said it would be. But the other leaders are so blind, they will not see it. They don't want to see it. See, my Jewish people, my friends, my people have two big boasts, Abraham and Moses. God gave the land to Abraham, and he gave the law to Moses. We're God's people with God's law. That's us. But God comes to us and we won't receive him. You know, it makes you angry. They brought a man with a withered arm to Jesus in the temple. It was a Sabbath day, you know. Now, by our rules, we don't work on the Sabbath day. But he has a reputation for never turning away a cripple. Well, he knew it was some sick kind of test, but Jesus healed him anyway. His arm just like swelled out to full size right in front of our eyes. And what's the conclusion they come to? Oh, well, he must be a fake. I mean, he must be, because you see, a real man of God wouldn't do that on the Sabbath day. I am so angry. What's wrong with us? You know, we see a miracle of restoration and the best we can do is conclude he must be a fake. I mean, I got to be honest, it troubles me too. I mean, it seems to go against the rules, at least as we understand them. But I'm not a fool. Maybe we don't understand God's law as well as we thought. Well, off they went scheming like madmen, you know. Let's arrest him and let's deal with him. They even sent officers to bring him back in. Back they came, empty-handed, eyes as beer saucers. Ooh, no one spoke like this ever. No one ever spoke like, no. But it's not easy. Not easy to take a stand when the people around you are so hostile and closed-minded. But I did challenge them. I mean, I said to them, well, does our Lord judge a man without first giving him a hearing and seeing what he does? Ah, they just attacked me. One of them said to me, oh, are you from Galilee too, eh? Well, search. There's no prophet ever comes from Galilee. Nothing in the Bible about that. If only he'd been born in Bethlehem. Poor. You know, it'd be a lot easier to make a case for him if only he'd been born in Bethlehem. But then, this will make you angry too. I heard some whispers. They were setting him up for another charge, you know. They know he hates the way women are treated. I think they're planning to get some woman charged with adultery and they're pretty sure he'll defend her. They've already got him for ignoring the fourth commandment. If they could just get him for ignoring the sixth, it'll be his life next.
Commands us to stone such a woman. What do you say?
It's a trap.
My stone to the first man who tells me that he has never sinned.
I'm angry and I'm afraid. What kind of people are we? What kind of people can be this blind? I mean, you'd think that raising someone from the dead would command a little respect. I've just come from a meeting of the Sanhedrin. 70 leaders, they rule Israel. They've decided to kill him. They've decided he has to go. And so does his friend Lazarus. And you know why? Because raising the dead this close to Jerusalem is too much of an embarrassment to ignore. Wouldn't have been so bad if he'd raised Lazarus, you know, further away. If Jesus had raised his friend Lazarus like in Galilee, well, it would have just been another story, just another Galilean myth. But it happened in Bethany, just over the hill. You can walk there in 40 minutes from here. Now, I'm a Pharisee and I believe in the resurrection of the dead. Well, I'd never seen it, but at least I believed it. And so do most of our people. But most of our leaders here in Jerusalem, well, they aren't Pharisees, they're Herodians and Sadducees. So to them, this is a total embarrassment. They deny the supernatural. And they rule the roost here at the temple and in the Sanhedrin. And now crowds are taking a morning walk out to Bethany and back again by lunchtime gawking at Lazarus. I mean, one old man out there's making a fortune taking people on tours of the gravesite and showing them the stone and telling the story over and over again. You ought to see him out there. Ladies and gentlemen, he stood right here and he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And then we rolled away the stone. Whew, the pong, ladies and gentlemen. He'd been in the grave 4 days. 4 days, mind you, and the pong was terrible. Oh. But Jesus looks up to heaven. He says a few words and then he bellows at the grave, "Lazarus, come forth!" And ladies and gentlemen, hand upon my heart, he came hopping out as lively as a jackrabbit. And here he is standing before you today. Say a few words to the ladies and gentlemen, please, Lazarus. What kind of nation's leaders can behave the way my nation's leaders are behaving? You'd think we'd be thrilled. You'd think we'd be grateful, believing, trumpeting the coming of our Messiah. But I'm ashamed to say it. Kill him and Lazarus for being an embarrassment. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. But my eyes have also seen just how broken, just how sin-filled we are. Oh, God, we are a wounded and a sinful people. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. Is there any way you can mend our brokenness? Is there any way that you can take away the sin of the world? Oh, God, God have mercy, have mercy. God have mercy upon us.
At the cross, I surrender my life.
Amazing. He came to his own, and his own would not receive him. Despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. You know, Pontius Pilate, ignorant, short-tempered Roman, came closer to seeing the truth about Jesus than our own spiritual leaders. Put up a sign. I wouldn't let him take it down either. The King of the Jews. Our crucified King. A prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And we handed him over to be sentenced to death, and we arranged for them to crucify him. I had so hoped that he would be the one who was going to redeem Israel. How are the mighty fallen? Today, under the cross, I discovered another secret disciple of Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea. Yeah. We've both been secret disciples. Fear of the leaders who wouldn't embrace him has kept him silent too. What kind of a disciple is a secret disciple? Enough of the secrecy. Well, Joseph's a rich man. He knows Pilate personally. He got permission to remove the body. I went and purchased the linen and the spices. It was the least I could do. We lowered him down from the cross and we carried him to Joseph's newly prepared tomb in a garden. Nice. He laid out his body and we cared for it. Oh my God. The wounds. To know him in life and then to see him in death. My God, he looked like he'd carried the whole world on his shoulders. Disfigured. Marred beyond human likeness. Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Well, what now? Is that all there is?
Conquer death. Can I just ask every head to be bowed in this place, an eye closed? Jesus has conquered death. That means for every single one of us that death is not the end. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. Jesus said to Thomas when he rose again, you've seen me, but blessed are those who have not and still believe in me. Right now, I'd like to give an opportunity for you to receive Jesus. There's nothing you can do to be with God except believe in Jesus. You can't be good enough. He has paid the price. He has provided the forgiveness of sins. He gives us the opportunity to be with him just by simply believing in him. And the greatest gift we can give to Jesus today is to believe what he's done for us. And you might be like Nicodemus. You may have many questions. But you know what? Today can be this day where those answers can start to come. And all you need is a mustard-sized seed of faith and belief. And if there's something right now in your heart and you sense, yes, I believe Jesus has done for me and I want to receive this personally for myself, then it would be my greatest honor to pray with you. It's not doing it in secrecy. It's just acknowledging to God, yes, I do believe. I want to be cleansed. I want to be forgiven. I want to be with you, Lord. So if that's you right now, if you would like to receive that prayer, to join with me in that prayer, by way of acknowledgement to me, can you just raise your hand? No one else is looking. Yep, I see your hand. Anyone else? Yep, I see your hand back there. Thank you. Anyone else that would like to pray this prayer? Yep, I see your hand. Thank you. Yep, and to the left. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? This is the most incredible prayer to pray. This is one of the greatest miracles, a heart that's changed and a heart that is towards God. Anyone else like to pray this prayer? Yep, I see your hand right at the back there. Thank you. I am going to take my time with this because this is an important moment. Anyone else finally would like to pray this prayer? Okay. Well, do you mind if we all stand and we're all going to say this prayer together? And for those that raised their hand, this is your prayer. And for anyone else, what can I just say? Maybe you've been doing your own thing. You prayed this prayer many years ago and maybe you've wandered off. Other things have come into your life. You know, God always wants us to come home. And this is a time to make right with God. This is a time where we can just come back to him. He has open arms all the time. All he does is wait patiently for us. So let's all say this prayer together. And so if you would like to say that prayer, for those who maybe want to come back, please make this your prayer. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge what Jesus has done for me He died on the cross for all my sins and has paid the penalty. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Wash me clean. Forgive me. And from this day forward, I want to walk with you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Draw me closer each day. And let me be a shining light for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Let's give a round of applause.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.